Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you.
And yet sometimes it just feels like all you're doing is taking different horses and carriages everywhere, and you hardly see each other anymore. But that's why we've got Joe and Cindy Farini with us today with My Marriage Matters. Good morning, you two. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So it sounds like we have a couple this week who's experiencing some drift slowly, huh?
Absolutely. And we couldn't ask for better timing on this question, because the topic that we're going to cover as we speak for Family Life mm-hmm. this weekend in Akron is about oneness in marriage and not isolation.
Yeah.
And so we'd love that this question came at the time that it came. But yes, I think in our society, I think this is a problem, and it starts right here in our homes.
All right, so can you paint the picture of what this couple is experiencing specifically here?
Well, I think it's a common scenario, Brian, that we often hear and we see way too many times. I mean, the only thing that changes are the names and the faces. This is a common scenario we see in many, many marriages. And so it's a very real danger. And what it requires is just constant and proactively just working together to avoid drifting apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And we have learned over the years that a marriage is either going either in moving towards oneness or they're moving toward isolation. And it's one or the other. You can't stay stable in one's marriage and stay there forever. That's just not reality. I mean, marriages are always changing. Mm-hmm. And again, as Cindy said, this weekend we're going to be spending actually quite a bit of time explaining how marriages can gradually drift toward isolation rather than achieve oneness in their marriage. So we encourage all you listeners to consider coming over to us. I know there's just a few more chairs available for this weekend, but we'd love to have them there as well.
And now, I'm sorry.
And I just want to say, too, I feel like this happens really easily in marriage because we do, you know, we change as we grow up from a child to an adult. And in our marriage, it goes from, you know, certainly a new and thriving, loving relationship. And if you aren't continuing to, you know, build into that, it's going to be very easy to go in different directions. And I just feel that, you know, it's the easy things like, well, you know, instead of going to see a movie this weekend together, why don't we just stay home? And then so you do your thing in the office and mm-hmm. I do my thing over here in the kitchen. And it's so easy for that to happen. That's just one little example, but even just not talking as much to each other or for that matter, having a disagreement and then really not talking to each other because you don't want to, and then not learning how to, you know, communicate better together.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder too, I mean, a lot of times I think parents, because, but I'm married too, couples, they tend to not even realize they're drifting apart. So how do you avoid that part before you're officially like, wow, I don't even know you anymore?
Sure. And I think, you know, there is a danger to drifting apart because that drifting apart leads to isolation. That isolation can lead to separation, whether it's physical, emotional separation, and then it can eventually lead to divorce. So how can we, you know, how can we avoid that? Well, some of the things are really easy. Let's just face it. If you listen to this broadcast, this little segment here, every Monday, you might have one topic that hits you that you can talk about throughout the week. Start dating each other. Mm-hmm. You guys have great programs on. You have great programming on for singles and marrieds, but if people tuned in and just listened and then discuss it, talk about it, how does it affect me? And then, talk about that as you go out for a dinner, or if dinner is too expensive where you're at in your stage of life, go out for a cup of coffee and, you know, just things like that. And question, when was the last time you held hands? Mm-hmm. When was the last time you actually sat down across the table from each other and talked and didn't have your phones with you and didn't, you know, kind of ignore each other just because, well, we're just eating, it's no big thing, but really took the time to turn off the television, turn off the phone, and really concentrate on one another.
Right.
Is there a particular stage of life/marriage where you think this is, where we're all at the most risk of drift in mm-hmm. a relationship?
That's a good question, Brian.
Absolutely. Oh. You know, we see early in marriage, but, you know, between about years 5 and 7, roughly, I think people get discouraged, but a discouraged marriage is not a dysfunctional marriage necessarily. It just needs a little bit of tune-up, you know?
What were the years? Five and what?
Like between 5 and 7 in that early range. But then the next big hit is right around the 25th anniversary. And I think people begin to look at each other and say, oh my goodness, who are you? Because the kids are grown, they're off to college, they're out and about. And then there's that whole shock of, now what are we going to do?
Absolutely.
Kathleen has lots to look forward to.
I know. I'm like panicking. Like my eyes are like, wow.
No. Well, I'll tell you the good news. The good news that we'd have for this couple or any couple is that no matter how far this couple has traveled down that road to isolation and despair, they can still get on the road that will always lead to hope and to oneness. And that's the good news that the Bible provides for us. It's just a wonderful thing, a comforting thing to know that you're not alone in this journey. And we can really move towards becoming all that we can become in our marriages and, of course, in our relationship with the Lord as well. So,
well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's say that the couple, like one of them doesn't want to work on it, you know, or one of them is like, I feel fine. Because I feel like I've seen that even in my friends' parents where it's just like, okay, so.
I told you I loved you 25 years ago.
Yeah,
that should be good enough.
But really, like, you know.
I told you I love you then.
Yeah. And it's like, why do you need, what's the issue here? So I guess I even wonder, what do you do then if it's just one person who's like, meh. I'm good.
Well, that's definitely an issue because I think for any relationship, for a boyfriend and girlfriend, for a husband and wife, even for two roommates, if you want to have any kind of a relationship at all, any kind of a relationship of communication, you both have to be interested and you both have to be willing. And what I have told couples, especially when wives come up to me privately when we're speaking at these events, and they will say things like that, and I often say to the person who wants to work on it, go for counseling. We have people who come to this conference, the Family Life Weekend, to remember, they come by themselves. We've had young people come and say, I'm not married yet, but I want to know what should I look for in how to act and be when I'm married. And so I would say, even if there's somebody listening who says, Kathleen, just what you said, I would just say, come to the weekend or go for counseling, get the help that you can get, and know that you put in your very best effort to be able to make the marriage work. And yes, it's going to be tough, but I think it can be done. We see it all the time, and it's really exciting when we do see it. But you both have to want to work on it. But if only one wants to, then get the help that you can to make your marriage the best that it can be. And I think Joe wants to say that.
I think the important thing here, Kathleen, is that we just need to develop disciplines, habits that would cause us to want to be together, or just develop a regular routine, if you will. I mean, put a date on a calendar is something simple that everybody can do. And you may not feel like going on a date, but you know what? It's an important discipline that we need to build into our marriage relationships. You need to be working at this thing. Marriage is something that requires constant, continuous attention.
Excellent.
And I do know someone who had a great early part of their marriage, and then the husband began to drift, didn't really want anything to do with, you know, Christianity and marriage and different things. And this woman put so much effort into her marriage, and she has probably one of the nicest, strongest marriages that I've seen. And it took time. It takes time, and it takes trust to get back to where maybe you were, or to where you think you want to be. I think every marriage always has room for improvement. Even a very good marriage has room for improvement.
Amen. 8:24, we got to scoot, but thanks again to Joe and Cindy Farini, who join us every week this half hour with a segment called My Marriage Matters. If you'd like to attend that Weekend to Remember coming up this weekend where they'll be speaking, or want to learn more information, folks, how can they get that, you two?
They can just go to familylife.com. That would be the easiest way, and sign up there. But we would love to see people there. And also, I will put something on the My Marriage Matters Facebook page as soon as we get off the phone here with a link to that, and they could go there too.
That sounds perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.